proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God in Jesus Christ. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Church today is caught up in all the wrong causes. We are caught up in political and social causes. We have fit in well to the divide that has happened in our country, whether blue or red, and we have forgotten the mission and the mandate of the church. We're confused about what our purpose is, and because of that, no longer are the greatest concerns given in God's word from which people need to be saved. In other words, the wrath of God, the judgment to come, no longer is that our biggest concern. A bigger concern are the social issues of the day, and this is a tragedy. When we open up the book of Acts, we see that the Apostle Paul was so committed to the mission that Jesus gave him to announce the gospel to the ends of the earth so that people would enjoy the forgiveness of sins, salvation. That's why Christians were left here. That's what we're called to do, to be witnesses for the name of Jesus. We're going to see this unfold today in Acts chapter 26, a great section of scripture to understand and keep us focused on what our mission is since the Lord left us here to be his witnesses. Thanks today for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio. Please visit us on the web at agradio.org. agradio.org. The number is 888-504-8805. 888-504-8805. We are on Facebook, Abounding Grace Radio. Twitter at AG Radio 1. Instagram, Abounding Grace Radio. All these ways to connect with us, and we'd love to hear from you. Of course, you can support us right online. You help us. Think of this. Take the gospel to the continent of Africa. The U.S., many places in the U.S., especially out in the West, and Canada. What a privilege the Lord has given us. Of course, worldwide online, too. We have so many listeners who tune in every day. We thank you for all of your prayerful and financial support. You can do that right online. There's a PayPal link at aagradio.org. We are so grateful that you help us to do this. 100% of your monies go to continue to take the gospel out so that people might hear the good news of Jesus, our commitment on the radio waves. Well, here is now the program from Acts chapter 26, which I have titled The Greatest Question Ever Asked. This is part one. Thanks today for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio. This morning is the pinnacle, I believe, in the book of Acts. Of what we've learned so much about throughout the whole book, that we are, as Jesus said, you are my witnesses to the ends of the earth. And this is one of those great moments where we see it all come together and we hear the most detailed of testimonies from the Apostle Paul of what true witness looks like and what it is. This is exactly what is in front of us as Luke here records with great detail, Paul's defense before Agrippa. We've been waiting for this. And in many ways, this is the great surprise of the book. This is the great surprise from God in this book, that after all of this hardship, after all of this pain, after all of this confusion, after all this suffering, how in the world did Paul end up here? He ended up before a king testifying. And I think you should stop and look at this and say, this is a remarkable thing that has happened. How did the Apostle Paul, little Paul, in this vast Roman Empire end up before a king to testify and give witness to his faith? And this is meant to encourage the church that in all the opposition, in all the hardship, that the Lord's plan and purpose is indeed working out. Open your eyes and look where he is right now. This is a remarkable act of God's providence and a remarkable act of his working. And we look at this last time because it was so helpful to think about Paul 2 years in prison in Caesarea. Nothing of what he was going through made much sense. Both the decisions on both ways that were presented to him, one to go to Jerusalem and be tried, or one to head to Nero and be tried, both were about as bad as it would be in terms of the end for the Apostle Paul. He would die either way. And we wrestled a little bit with last time, thinking of God in his ways and in his providence and the way that he orchestrates things and designs things, surely he could have done things better than this. What a mess. What a mess that this is your choice to have a witness. Death here and death here. And Paul didn't base any of his decisions on the fear of death. Everything was, for the Apostle Paul, about the advance of the gospel. This is how he thought. This is how he made it through this. And we've struggled with this, I think, in our times and in our day to understand what seems to be a lack of plan that is playing out in front of us. To look at all of this and to really believe that God has us just where he wants us in the midst of all of this and where this might go and how it might go. All of these things are really answered here with how the Lord helped the Apostle Paul and shows us what he was doing in the midst of all of this. Everything was going according to plan. Everything was working out just according to how he said it would work out. And now he stands before King Agrippa and Bernice. It's just a remarkable, remarkable moment in the book of Acts. And it's here at this point that we get one of the most beautiful testimonies that we have in all of the scriptures. This is God's way. See it. A slave in chains. A slave in rags. A slave standing before a king, presenting the king to whom everyone must bow and confess. This is the Lord's way. It's a remarkable thing. What a drama. But it's here that we see the heart of the Apostle Paul. It's here that we see his heart. I've said over and over, nothing deterred him from what his mission was and was to be and what he was to say. And I can't get over that in our day, for the church needs this today more than ever. Nothing deterred the man. He wasn't pulled this way and that way. It was not every wind of doctrine that came and pulled him off the path. He had a singular aim with a singular goal, and he is here on facing death, stuck with it, not going anywhere else. And that's what I want to show you today. Paul never lost sight of his calling as a pastor. And under the most stressful and scary of circumstances, he knew his responsibility was to simply be a faithful witness to the grace of God in his life with the goal that all, notice I say that, all would come to saving faith and be saved from the judgment to come. That's what this is showing us. And you see that this morning here with the purpose that Paul demonstrates as he speaks to Agrippa, the heart of his witness, and then, of course, their response to this all, which then will leave him heading to Rome. You'll remember the scene before us. Festus wants to get rid of Paul. He wants him gone out of his jurisdiction. He was assigned by Rome to keep peace in the region, and the previous guy had already been let go because he couldn't bring peace to the region. So he wants to send him to the Jews for trial over in Jerusalem and try him there, for he knows that this ambush is in place and this would deal with this problem in the empire and probably bring some peace and calm to the area, for we know that all the tensions that are building are going to lead to what is going to happen in AD 70. But Nero, the alternative was to go over to Nero and be judged, and that had just as bad for the apostle of a possible outcome. He would most certainly become a martyr either way. But he chose the path for one great reason, that Jesus said, "You will testify before me in Rome." You're going to Rome. It was not to save his life. It was to testify. So as Paul is waiting to be shipped to Rome, the Lord gives us a surprise. The most detailed account in the book in terms of witness from Luke. So it's something. It's something big. We read that Agrippa, King Agrippa, and Bernice had come to town, and Festus presented the case to them. They wanted to hear. Now, I spent a little bit of time last time on their history, which is so important here because this was a huge public scandal, especially to the Jews, of whom we know all the Agrippas and the Herods, the king of the Jews, knew the laws, they knew the rules, they knew how they should live, and And here was this king who was totally corrupt. They come in into the room, and of course it's a show. They come in all of their pomp and in all of their fancy, with their fancy clothes, with all of their royal figures around them. And yet, as history records this public scandal, it was absolutely disgusting. Bernice had already been married and divorced by the age of 12. Married him at 13. Her uncle, Agrippa is her uncle. She was later the mistress of Caesar and would end up brokenhearted and abused by the whole thing. What a mess. What a mess. Filthy before God, yet in the greatest positions of power in the world. And here before them is a man in chains with the most important message they could ever hear. A message that is the power of God to save them. Festus presents Paul to King Agrippa and Bernice, and we enter our text at this point. King Agrippa looked at Paul, remember, balding, the only description we have, eyebrows joined, bowed knees, but full of grace, as we read last time, looks at him and says, "You have permission to speak." Which you stand back and say, really? The Lord is the one commanding speaking. He's the one in control. And here he gets permission from the king. Luke records that Paul then begins to give his defense. That's important because it's the same word that Peter would later choose when he called all of us saying, always be prepared, dear Christians, to make a defense. There it is. A defense to anyone who asks you. It's a really important point, isn't it? A defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and great respect. Well, here's the greatest showcase of that in front of us this morning. Before we jump into the content of the speech, I want you to think for a moment with me of Paul's great purpose in this. What would you do in this particular situation? I mean it. That's something you have to wrestle with a little bit. Paul is given permission to speak, and with great respect, he says to Agrippa, I am making my defense to you today. I know that you are familiar, King Agrippa, with all the customs and controversies of the Jews, so listen patiently to me. What Paul does here is very simple. This is now the third time we know in the book of Acts that he gives a witness to his story, his upbringing, his testimony as a Pharisee. And then, of course, he explains what Jesus would do for him in saving him and the mission that Jesus would give him. So all of that is, again, set before us. But I want you to notice here how he really is explaining to Agrippa first his former life. All of the Jews know me, says Paul. I was of the strictest sect of the Pharisees, our religion. I did everything in the course of this to oppose the name of Jesus of Nazareth. I locked up saints. I forced them and had conspiracies against them to make them blaspheme. I was there when they were put to death. I made the final decisions to do it. I punished them for their worship, forcing them to blaspheme, and in raging fury, I went persecuting of them all the way to foreign cities. That's how zealous I was against Christians. You see what Paul's doing here. What he's essentially doing is showing King Agrippa at this point how irrational such hatred is. How irrational such hatred is. Why would we do that? Why do people hate us? So I think this is a really important point to think about. Why are Christians so hated? Now, maybe we've brought some of that on ourselves for not sticking to our mission. But in general, why are we hated? That's the question, isn't it? That's what the text is calling the king to consider. Why do you hate us? What is so remarkable about this thought? If I simply stop, King Agrippa, and ask you the question, what is so remarkable about all of this? Why do you hate Christians? Why do people hate us? On what basis did I hate them so much as to spew out this kind of violence against them? On what basis? Now, the answer that Paul will give to this is that there is a dark, demonic power of demons and Satan himself behind such hatred. He says it here. He says that Jesus here brought him out of darkness, and his goal is to bring other people out of darkness to light, out of the power, notice that, of Satan to God. And I think we have to see that today. Oftentimes we're confused by the hatred. Oftentimes we're confused by exactly what's going on. And Paul was never afraid to look at it in these categories of what's happening. What are people aligning with together today in all of their alignments and in all of their causes today? It is an alignment against the light. You could have completely contradictory objectives in all of these movements that are happening in front of us, but their commonality is, it's a commonality of hatred against God. Behind what is the collective hatred of God, you'll notice here, Paul recognizes is a force of Satan. But Paul is really pressing the issue of how irrational the hatred is. King Agrippa, why am I on trial today? Because, verse 8, I have hope. You could just stop right there, couldn't you? I have hope that I'm offering. I have hope in the promise made by God to our fathers, which the whole 12 tribes want to attain to. And he links together the common hope of Israel with the Christian hope, which is so important here, isn't it? What was the promise? Well, it was a promise of deliverance. It was a promise of land. It was a promise of a Savior. I have that hope. At its most basic level, isn't this today what everyone's looking for? Let me think about this just for a moment. This is what I think drives much of, if we can just see it, this is what I believe drives much of what's happening right now in our day and in our time. What many people fear, what many people are panicked about, is the loss of a land. Is it not? Aren't many people right now in our time, in our day, in our country, living in fear with how to figure out how to keep a land? Is this not what's fueling a lot of the fighting and a lot of the separation right now? It may be as misplaced as Israel's hope was for the land. But that desires what Paul's appealing to. Hope. Who's optimistic today? Who's optimistic? Paul is linking together what people aspire and what people desire in this world. And I'm on trial for it, for hope, for real hope. So then he goes on to explain the heart of the issue, doesn't he? Why is it thought incredible by any of you that God raises the dead? It just keeps coming back at us, doesn't it? Resurrection of Jesus. That's the hope. Why would you guys hate that? Why would you think that's surprising? Why? Maybe in our postmodern society, this even more so is confusing for people. It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. Why is it surprising that we believe our hope is in the resurrection of Jesus? All of God's testimony has proclaimed it. All the prophets believed it. The whole Old Testament was looking forward to it. This is what the land was all about. You see, I think this is important because people are already in sorrow. They are already in darkness and are about what we are about here. You'll notice here is that the common misery, this pain that everyone is going through, this searching of hope that everyone's after, and what Paul is saying here is so important. It's completely irrational for you to hate Christians who are offering you the best hope ever. This is the heart of it. If we were out slaying our enemies, if we were all saying death to the infidels, if we were out trying to overthrow Rome, we could understand you coming after us. But our cause is to say, Jesus has beat death. Jesus is the answer to your problems of sin. Can anyone today really doubt, even in the secular world, the problem of sin? That's just sheer suppression and foolishness. Look at the misery. And here we're proclaiming one who triumphed and beat all of this and rose so that people might have life. Irrational, is it? Who's irrational? See, Paul's going to be called a madman here, isn't he? And I almost titled my message, Christianity is for Madmen. But it's true. Think about it. What is more absurd? You see, it's from here that Paul gives witness to how Jesus delivered him, what Jesus did for him. This is all he's doing again. This is all his great aim again. You know what Jesus did for me one day? Dear King Agrippa, I was on the road to Damascus. I was going out at the appointment of our leaders. You know these men. You are a king. At midday, a light shone around me and I fell to the ground. Is that remarkable? Have you read the Old Testament? Is that remarkable that that could happen? A light shone around me and I heard a voice. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Said Jesus. You can't kick against the goads, sharp spikes for controlling animals. You can't stop what I'm doing. Who are you, Lord? I didn't know the God of Israel. And he called me. And he told me, I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting. Stand up on your feet. And then he told me why he's appearing to me, dear King Agrippa. Please listen to this. Listen to why I'm doing what I'm doing. Listen to why I'm in chains. Listen to why I'm going through all of this. It is for this reason. I have appointed you as a servant and a witness to things, and you will open their eyes and turn from darkness to light, from Satan to God. Turn them from darkness to light, from Satan to God. It's for what end? This is wonderful. That they may receive the forgiveness of sins and a place. A place among all those who are sanctified. There is a definitive sanctification in Jesus' view. Oh, King Agrippa, how could I not go? I did what Jesus told me to do. He's Lord. I went through all the region and I called people to repentance. And you know what? They've tried to kill me for this, to bring them to the light. But the Lord has helped me so that I can fulfill this great testimony to everyone and do exactly what he called me to do and fulfill exactly what he called me to be. And here I am to this day, O great one. Notice this. I am simply testifying to everything that the law and the prophets said. Christ must suffer. And being first to rise from the dead, he would proclaim light to our people and to the Gentiles. That's what I'm about. What's so overwhelming about the testimony is that Paul is so content and driven to keep the issue of the resurrection in front of a king.
Thank you for listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Contact us through the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. We're on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station and subscribe in iTunes or use our free Android app. We trust this program has encouraged you to trust in Christ for your standing with God and to live in His abounding grace.